Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, 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 everyone. Thank you for listening. You are live. I am live with you. This is Reality, Spirituality, and I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Oh, my God. What a week. You know, I don't know about you, but the universe has a special relationship with each one of us. But I'm telling you, this universe just loves to shake me up, test. And I'm saying all this with a smile on my face, trust me, because if I wasn't smiling, I'd be resisting, right? And we know that when you can't be happy and resist at the same time, at least that's what they tell me. But this week has been a week of ups and downs and roller coaster emotions and feelings and activities and things that have been happening outside of my control. You would not believe, and I'm going to share all of it with you. But before I do, I just want to say welcome to my new listeners. This show has evolved over 6 years, and what I like to do on this show is to share real life circumstances, real life examples of how to remain at peace and content, how to remain happy in life's most challenging moments. And let me say this. You know, the interesting thing, a woman shared a story with me, and I just got to know her a couple months ago. I actually mentioned her last week on the show, the woman that was abused as a child, and so we've been connecting. And she shared a story just a couple of days ago because she moved out. She got married at 18, but she married an alcoholic. It was, you just follow the pattern. And she said that their relationship, of course, if you can imagine, a woman that has gone through all of these trials of being molested and mistreated and emotionally, physically abused, and now she gets married at 18. Well, she can't pick. She's sure she's not going to pick somebody that's connected. Of course, she's going to pick somebody else that they say, I don't like using this word, but broken or you know, who knows? I scratch that. I don't like that word. I don't like labels. Challenged, I don't know, whatever word, you know what I'm talking about. So she picked this guy, and so they've had years and years, but they got to their 50th wedding anniversary, and she was really excited about it. I mean, if you can imagine the ups and downs both of them had. And so she was planning this really magical surprise that she wanted to go. I don't know if it was some great vacation. Well, before that, her husband told her that he wanted to visit, I guess it was like a father figure when he was growing up, it was his 90th birthday, and it happened to be around the 50th anniversary. It happened to be around their 50th anniversary. Well, she kind of felt a little, well, you know, you're choosing to go and visit this guy, it's our 50th anniversary, and she says, oh, you know, I'll make it work. But she's saying this in her mind because she didn't want to let her husband know she was planning anything. So she says, oh, when we go to visit his father or stepfather, I know it was a father figure, then I'll surprise him right after that. We'll have tickets to go on our anniversary trip. So she did all the planning. Finally, a little while before the date that they were supposed to departure happens, the husband makes some mention of the trip, and she says, "Yes, well, we'll work it out." And the husband looked at her and said, "I'm going alone. I'm going alone on this trip." And she looked at me and she says, "Well, our 50th anniversary, I had plans." And he just threw up his hands like, "Sorry, but I'm not interested in your plans. No, thank you." And this happened a few years ago, and audience, they're still married, and she's still angry about it. Maybe it happened 5, 6, 7 years ago. I'm not really sure how long they've been married now, but they're still married. And she was telling the story like she's told the story a lot of times to a lot of people. And if you can imagine, every person, well, in her reality, every person that she told the story with sympathized with her and said, "Yeah, you're justified. I mean, it was your 50th. You don't celebrate a lot of things." Oh, she threw this in. She said that her mother was Jehovah's Witness and her father was an atheist. So when she was younger, she never really celebrated anything. And so she really, and celebrations were very important to her. She shared that to add to the story. I forgot. She's telling me the story, and I asked her, I said, back to what I was saying. So you can imagine everybody agreed, and everybody gave her sympathy. "Yeah, you're right, you're right." Except when she told me that story, I said, "Well, that's all your fault." The biggest problem with relationships with anyone, even people that you don't know, even with strangers, is the expectation of you to think that what you think is important should be important to somebody else. And especially it should be important to somebody else if they say they love you, and if they're in a relationship with you, that what's important to you better be important to them, right? Well, see, that is the big problem. This world we have been programmed to think that, yes, what's important to us should be important to somebody else, putting that obligation on someone else. Oh, that's part of being in a relationship. Well, what happens over a period of time is this: if you're doing something just for someone else and you're not really doing it because you enjoy it or want to do it, you're under this obligation because you know if you don't do it, your partner's going to get angry or disappointed or whatever, fill in the blank. And that is, that's a relationship of bondage. Doing things out of obligation for any reason, doing things because from the heart and inspired, but because you know your partner's going to get upset if you don't A, B, or C. So I just hit her with, "Sorry, but that was your..." I mean, if you can imagine having a story and you know you're right. Well, listen, some of you might still think she's right, but I'm telling you. I said, "No, it doesn't." And see, you getting upset with him, and this is the thing. After people do or disappoint us and hurt our feelings, that's impossible too. Somebody can't hurt your feelings. Then she was this angry bird, this angry person that, you know, you're gonna get it back. I don't care how long, I don't care what I, you know, how long I have to wait, or what it has to look like. But you're gonna get hurt. I'm laughing because that's who I was. That's who I was. You hurt me, you know, my perception that you hurt me. Then sorry, but there's some payback, people. There's some payback. And that was the same type of energy she was, and quite frankly, she admitted to still is. So after giving her the big sorry sister, but these expectations of other people, and you are not a victim. Listen, when you're a child, yes, that is, I can't even, yes, victim. But when you get to be an adult, you are no longer acting like someone is responsible and you're feeling bad because of someone else. See, that's a victim. You feel bad or you're upset or you're hurt because of what someone else did. That is, I'm actually scratching my head right now. That doesn't even make sense. Free yourself up, people. This, your relationships, and so it goes even to strangers. So the when I say having expectations of someone else, to thinking strangers, okay, this is perfect because what your cause is, whatever it is, Greenpeace, PETA, global warming, you know, organic food, you know, whatever your cause is, save the Confederate flag. I don't even care what it is. Whatever your cause is, to have this in this urge to convince other people that this should be important. This should be important too. Talking about subtracting from your happiness. I mean, sorry. For a perfect example, two of my students in the happiness class were telling me that it really bothers them when, you know, and I'll get to the topic in a minute. It really bothers them that when, they're driving and they look out and they see people on their cell phones or either talking on their cell phones or they're texting. I mean, they really get upset because that is not what people should be doing. I mean, safety first and cell phones and, of course, the cardinal rule in reality spirituality, the truth about happiness is stay out of everybody else's business. But just the fact that they're looking is, listen, I'm sorry, but I cannot not notice that because it's a danger to driving. It's a danger to me. It's a danger to everybody on the road. And I said, well, they have police officers for that. Or you want to be a police officer now. But the bottom line is when you pay attention to whatever anybody else is doing, you're making a conscious decision to subtract from your own happiness. You're making a conscious choice to subtract from your own happiness. Now, that's on you. Look and pay attention to the people that are texting and cutting other people off on the road, right? Subtract from your happiness. There you go. Just know. It's like they said smoking cigarettes years ago. Know that there's a high risk of getting lung cancer. Well, okay, I'm going to do it with that knowledge of, and people do. People make conscious choices to subtract from their happiness all the time. But that's on you, people. Now let's get to the topic. This is I have to share this. It was Thursday. Was it Thursday? Let's see. Hold on a second. Thursday. No, it was Friday. It was Friday. And I made a big announcement, huge announcement. I was inspired, and I'm going to make this announcement. First, you're the first people to hear it. I am officially retiring on October the 5th of this year. Now, October the 5th happens to be a very significant day because it's Ralph Norrington's birthday, my father, who died in 2008. And so, I had planned to retire at the end of the year. Things came up. And I said, you know what? The universe said, Rebecca, as soon as you hit your 20 years, you don't have to stay there not one day longer. Yeah, okay, you make $40 more, $45 more if you stay to the end of the year. $45 more a month. Listen, I'm sorry, people, but time is for me, time is more valuable than $45. Someone said, you have you'll lose 3 months of your life, or you'll get $45, which would you choose? I'm going to choose the life. hold on a second, let me grab a little bit of water, a.k.a. water. I don't know where that came from. Excuse me, hold on. Okay. Let's see, hold on just a second. Hold on, audience, give me a couple seconds. Let me get some water. I'm back. So on Friday morning, when I was in, on, yeah, Friday morning when I was inspired to, hey, bump that date up to as soon as you can. And I could have bumped it up even more, but the significance of retiring on my father's birthday was really special. I thought it was really, it's just a great day to remember and a great thing to say. I retired on my father's birthday. I just love that. So what happened is I made the announcement. I went into to the office, and I had to make sure everything was. In other words, the paperwork was right, the application was in. So I called and I checked, and Sacramento called me back, and they says, yes, Rebecca, you're free and you're clear to retire on October the 5th of this year. Now, mind you, thinking a week ago, a month ago, I'm retiring in December all of a sudden. Now I got to get into this fast mode, this gear, and I could feel my energy just ramping up and just having all of this excited and just, in other words, I couldn't sit down. I was moving. I was thinking. I was you know, just excitement and concentration and focus and then no focus. It was a lot of that. But a lot of excitement, and I didn't share it with not too many people, but I did share it with my supervisor, immediate supervisor, and her supervisor. And I said, retiring, and they looked at me like I just told them that I was going to fly to the moon. Well, what do you mean you're retiring? You're only 60. Yes, listen, people. Time, for me, time is it. Time for me is the most valuable experience in time. That's it. Oof, on this world. I mean, this is what I think. So after that morning, focusing on, okay, what I'm doing, and I had this feeling in my stomach, and I just, it was, and I couldn't eat. I had a little bit of water, and my stomach felt upset. And then I just kind of shook it off. I said, well, I can't eat today. I'm too excited. And I had a class to teach that night. I had a cycling class, which is my highest energy class that I teach. I was so hyper. I mean, I was just like I was shot out of a cannon. I don't know if you could feel, I have hyper energy when I'm really excited and passionate. And if you can feel me over the air, it was that times a million. I was a bouncing ball, just so much fire and so much energy that day that I energized myself into not even feeling hungry and not eating. But I knew I had to eat because I had this class to teach. So I had a little bit of chicken and a little bit of a salad, and immediately I threw it up. I said, oh, okay, I just haven't eaten and I'm just a little nervous. But I said, I have to eat something. I gave myself a little bit of time, had a couple of ginger tablets. I love taking ginger for a, quote, upset stomach. Took a couple of ginger tablets, which usually just really just calms my stomach down. And a lot of ginger, maybe two tablets, a lot of water. Threw that up, too. Now I'm thinking, now this is the same day. This is that late afternoon when I was supposed to have lunch. And then I'm thinking, okay, what's going on? But I let it go because, quite frankly, I was still basking in the glow of retirement in October. Then my stomach started to cramp a little bit. And I was thinking, okay, cramping. But again, I just fluffed it off. Now, my class was at 5:30, so I've gone through the whole day with no food. I know that if you exercise to a really high level and you don't eat, I haven't passed out, but I felt very, very faint. I always have to eat something. Something has to be in my stomach at least 4-5 hours prior to. But that day, so I was very aware of that. And so I tried to drink some water. I tried to have a little bite of apple. I threw that up. So while I was teaching, I could not teach at the level that I usually, and I took breaks. I got off the bike. Now my stomach starts cramping even more. And the pain is getting to be more noticeable and to the point, it's not unbearable, but it's very, very uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for me to finish the class. And in fact, when I finished it and I felt lightheaded and I just, you know, I wasn't able to scream and yell. I did scream and yell, but there was definitely less screaming and yelling. But listen, even less screaming and yelling in my class is a lot. And one of the gentlemen brought his girlfriends, and he said, "Elizabeth, if you come to this class, you're going to be entertained." But anyway, I digress. So right after class, I walk to my car. Before I even could get to my car, I double over, and I'm throwing up outside in the street in the parking lot. Oh, by the way, the same parking lot that in February one of the cars hit me while I was walking across it. Yeah, that parking lot. So I'm doubled over and I'm throwing up, and now my stomach is really cramping and hurting. So I think that I'm just going to go and get ginger ale. I'm going to double up the medicine. Ginger ale, ginger tablets, a lot of water, sit my ass down and just calm it down and relax. So that was Friday night. I'm sitting in the chair, and the cramping is getting worse and worse, and it's doubling me over. Now, remember what happened earlier that day. I was on top of the world. I was on top of the mountain. I just said, "I'm retiring." And then at the end of the day, probably 6 o'clock, I was doubled over. No, those classes over 6:30. 7 o'clock, I was doubled over in pain. And I just, you know, I'm shaking my head and saying, "What a effed up day! Thanks for nothing, universe." Yeah, I'm upset with the universe, and thank you, universe, for the roller coaster ride. Oh, by the way, I didn't choose it. And then I'm sitting and trying, because doing things that usually give me relief. Also an antacid. I took an antacid. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it's getting more painful and more painful now. And I can't fall asleep. It's probably around 10:30, 11 o'clock as the pain gets worse. I said, "I have to go to the emergency. I have to drive myself to the emergency room." And that's what I did. On Friday, August the 19th, the day I announced my day of retirement, that day I announced my retirement date to myself and a couple people, I'm in the emergency room. Now, when you go to the emergency room, you just don't get helped right away. And I know how to walk into an emergency room and get attention. So I'm walking, but I was really in pain. But, you know, hey, I'm in a lot of pain. Take me fast. That was what I wanted, and that's the energy I gave them. But that's not what happens. So I'm sitting down after, you know, fill out the paperwork, and it's really painful to even write. Sometimes I'm shaking. It wasn't a good scene, man. And I sit down after I turn in the paperwork. And an hour and a half later, after I get up and pace and make myself seen again, maybe it was less than an hour and a half, but it was over an hour, you can see the nurse. I go into the nurse, and I'm telling you, I'm in tears, but I'm thinking, well, now I can get some kind of relief, whatever kind of drug. Give me the drugs to give me some kind of relief from this. So, but she's just there to take my vitals. and then ask me all of the questions, you know, background questions, surgeries, and answering questions when your pain is not fun or funny. So after that, I go back outside, and I wait probably another half hour. The bottom line is, while I'm in the taking off and getting into my gown, my emergency robe gown, and the nurse comes in with the, you know, now you're going to get an IV. Oh, my God. And that was, and she was, listen, when I don't know about you, but when I'm getting IVs or any kind of needles poked into me, I have to be quiet. I have to get into this meditative state. I have to start breathing. I have to be quiet. I cannot talk and have you poke a needle in my arm at the same time or my hand. I just can't. So I was calming myself down, and she's a talker, and she was, well, and why are you here? And I said, I really need to be quiet. Oh, no, talk, it'll take your mind off of it. And I said, no, I need to be quiet. No, oh, no. And then, of course, you know, listen, one of the things that, quote, unquote, pushes my buttons is if somebody else tells me what's best for me. Like they know what, especially it's a stranger. Hoo-wee. So I had to ruffle the feathers up a little. My feathers were ruffled, I must admit, and I said, and I had to say forcefully, no, I need to be quiet. And if I hadn't have said it forcefully, who knows? But anyway. And it was so painful. Well, this was my perception, and I was crying. And but finally, after they give you the first drug and, you know, the first one doesn't work, and I make sure that they know it doesn't work, and I get the morphine that I'm, yeah, give me the morphine, please, went into an instant state of relaxation. Then after that, you know, the tests, they want to give you this test, a CAT scan, some kind of dye test, some kind of contrast test, sonogram. So I had the sonogram. I allowed them to do that. But the other test, I said, no, I'm not feeling that. I said, I'm, you know, years ago, I've had time-to-time issues with ulcers, possible ulcers. And I said, I'm leaning that's what this is. So now I'm in a hospital diagnosing myself to the doctor and the nurses. And then I get this throwback of, you're not a doctor. You don't know. You have a license to practice medicine. Yeah, I was asked that. I said, no, but I know my body, and I just probably need some kind of prescriptive anti-acid. The whole ordeal from flying on top of the mountain all the way to crashing into the ER was... And by the way, I was in the present moment the whole time. It was very intense. Very intense. Was such a eye-opener to how... It's such a condensed, concentrated eye-opener to how this world works, really works. Concentrated emotions, what happens, activities, in a blink of an eye, without any notice. And it's our job, it's your job, it's my job to be prepared. But how do you prepare for uncertainty? How do you prepare for the best and the worst day of your life? Well, you prepare by practicing every day in every moment to relax without resisting, to experience it without resisting. There was a time at home before I went to the ER and I said, oh, God, universe, what the hell, stop. And I was crying because it was so painful. And I said, stop. And as soon as I said that, I realized I was resisting that pain. I was resisting it. Yeah, I said, okay, I'm done resisting. I'm supposed to be experiencing this pain for as long as whatever is in the cards. And that's what I just gave up and let it go. But the reality of this life just being a roller coaster but even take out the roller coaster, because the roller coaster gives you, gives me the sense of that feeling of No. The roller coaster actually strains out. When you practice just flowing, the roller coaster doesn't have any hills. It's just a straight ride, a smooth ride. And you're the one that either adds the hill or doesn't add the hill. It's not anything else. You have full control over whether you want to experience that straight down feeling or not. Because that's not what it really is. It's what you perceive it to be, and you are the perceiver. You are the perceiver. You become what you practice. It was a hell of a day I will never forget, and a day of so many lessons, being in the moment, just flowing with all of it. Canceling, I had to cancel my Saturday water class. And let me tell you something, I haven't canceled a Saturday water class in 6 years. I've gone out of town and I've let them know, but canceled a water class? I've never done that in 6 years. But here we go again. That morning, the next morning, which is Saturday, I had an appointment with a client. And at that appointment, there was no mention. I was given the drugs that immediately got rid of the pain, immediately got rid of the discomfort, and immediately got rid of it. So I had the drugs, people. I had the drugs, and they were working. So I felt great. My appetite came back, and I had an appointment with a client at 11:30. You heard me, 11:30. So from the morning, Friday morning at around 9:00. To 11:30, from the ups to the downs. Oh, by the way, and I hadn't eaten yet either. Excuse me. From that time, when I knocked on the door or rang the doorbell, the client had no idea of what I just went through. There was no energy for me. There was no mention of it. There was no nothing. And it's not because it was a client. It's because nobody knew. It's because I don't practice talking. Not nobody knew. There were maybe three people that knew. And the one person that knew texted me and said, oh, I have to hear all about it. And then I said, text her back, and I said, no, I don't talk about the past in my personal life. The only time I talk about my past is on this radio show or in a class. But if you think that in my personal life, in my real life, that I say, oh, guess what, I was in the ER yesterday, or oh, guess what, I announced my retirement yesterday, I don't care if it's good news or middle of the news or news about being in the ER, I don't talk about yesterday. It's just not interesting. That yesterday's moment is not interesting to me anymore. And I said, in my real life, I don't talk about yesterday. So I'm not going to give you the story. You can either hear it on the radio show or you can come to the class on Thursday, but I'm not going to talk about what happened. And then she texts back and she says, no, I want to hear. And I said, sorry. It's about maintaining the peace and staying balanced and staying in the present moment. And it's not an interesting story to me, talking about yesterday. Now, if you have questions for me, you can just press the number 1. A lot of people are in the queue. Number 1, and you will be connected live. But after that, I want to share with you a secret to having a peaceful relationship with anyone. And well, let's say this. Let's get off of relationships. Just to talk about any challenge, whether it's a relationship or whether it is it is a relationship or whether it is a circumstance. I put this together. I was actually inspired by my wonderful happiness students this summer session. And the question always, there's always this question to me is how do you do it, and how did you get to be this grounded and this balanced? They don't say grounded and balanced, but you know, this happiness person. Why is it that became a priority and your ability, no expectations, you know, all the stuff that a happiness specialist does. How did you get to be here? How did you? What are the tools that you used? And so one of the things that I came up with is a checklist. And I want to share it with you because I think it's fabulous. But the top of it says, what are you challenged with in this moment? In other words, what is your challenge? Is it with something that somebody did to you or somebody said, or is it a circumstance that you're in? What is your challenge in this moment? And I wrote out a yes and a no checklist. So I didn't even number these questions. Wow, how many questions are these? And it looks like maybe 25 or 30. There's a lot of questions that it's a checklist that you check either yes or you check no. And if you check yes, no. If you check no, then you know that you're automatically subtracting you're automatically subtracting from your happiness in this moment, this specific moment that you are naming, that you are using for your challenge. Say, for instance, okay, let me give you an example. Let's see. Hold on. Say, for instance, you have a challenge with, I'm giving my own example, a person that you're working with, and they're just, you know, they're the opposite of you. They're talkative. They don't listen. For me, it's just, it's the questions, why are you asking me a question that you know, should know the answer to? You know, it's an energy, it's an incompatible energy. So you're with somebody that's just incompatible energy with you. And what I find when I'm in those circumstances, I go down this checklist, okay? In other words, I use all of this for the checklist to see if I'm on the path of remaining, adding to and not subtracting from happiness. So if you check anything no, then you know in that moment you're subtracting. Let me give you the example. So I'm having a challenge with a relationship with this woman that we're not compatible, but it's my responsibility to keep the relationship peaceful. So the first question is, do you trust that everything that is happening for my betterment, aka my spiritual growth? So in other words, the universe pairing me up with this woman is happening for my betterment. There is something that I'm going to grow from being in this woman's company. I'm going to grow from this woman, from being in this woman's company, working something out. Do you trust that the universe has always and will always have your best interest in every moment? So that's another one. Do you trust that the universe, you either trust or you don't trust? And if you trust that the universe, if you look back on your life and you trust that everything that's happened so far has lined up exactly the way that it should have, and you know we don't use that word should, but it's lined up exactly the way of the divine plan, do you really trust that? You either do or you don't. And if you don't trust that, then you're subtracting from your happiness. Do you know, and here we go, how many people say that they worry? I mean, I have not met... It's so common. It's like, do you breathe? Yes. Do you worry? Yes. Well, what is worrying? All worrying is an absence of trust. So the question is, do you know that worrying means that you don't trust? Do you really know that? So if you acknowledge and say to yourself, and remember, you only have to be honest to yourself. You don't have to be honest with anybody else but you. But if you acknowledge that, oh, I worry, and that means I don't trust, what is the next step? That means you have to practice, you have to develop, you have to work on gaining more trust. See, it always comes back to us. That's good news, people. the question, do you believe that everything happens in perfect order? The way the life, your life is unfolding perfectly. Do you believe that, either yes or no? Now, let's get down to it. This relationship or whatever is going on, whatever problem you're having, are you taking it seriously? Is this really serious? Is this really important? Because I'll tell you right now, if you're taking anything seriously, you're subtracting from your happiness. Have you practiced changing your perspective? If you're looking at any situation or any problem just one way, you're limiting yourself. There are 360 ways to look at any specific event, not just one way. There's a lot of ways to look at the same. And if you're not feeling balanced or at ease with the way you're looking at it or perceiving, hey, you can change your perception to a point, you can change your perception to a place where you are going to feel good about it. Are you taking what is said, what is done, what has happened personally? Let me give you a perfect example. This happened on my special day. One of my people that knows me, I thought she knew me. I guess I've known her for maybe 15 years. We've been with each other through ups and downs, and where we don't hang out together, I considered us very, very close. And on Friday, she told me, well, she said to me something about, I was telling her that I'm retiring. I can't wait to get out of here. I said it's time. And she said, well, she was talking about other people and how other people perceive me or what other people think about me. And I said, I really don't care what other people think about me. And she said, well, you should care about what other people think. She says, you should care. She says, and you put up these walls. And audience, I'm telling you, my button was pushed all the way in. I put up these walls because I'm thinking, I don't put up walls. You know me 15 years and you saying that I put up walls, you don't know. It's like she says she knows me, but other people, she says I put up walls with other people. And that statement just really, let's say this, bothered my ego. And coming up with what brings me to the point of why it did. Because I took what she said personally. I took what she said personally. If whatever happens to you happens and you take it personally, you are subtracting from your happiness. Now, I'm going to read, there's a lot more of these questions, these yes or no questions, and I'm going to read them throughout the next month. But those are the first 10, I believe, and I'm going to read them again. Yes or no, so you're going to answer these questions, yes or no. And if you answer them no, you know you're subtracting. If you answer them yes, you know that you are adding to your happiness. Question number one, do you trust that everything that's happening is happening for your betterment and your personal and spiritual growth? Yes or no. Do you trust that the universe has always had your best interest in every moment of your life? Yes or no. Do you know that worrying means you don't trust? Yes or no. Do you believe that everything that happens is in perfect order? Yes or no. Are you taking whatever it is seriously? Yes or no. When faced with this challenge, when faced with any challenge, do you practice changing your perspective as many times as you need to change it to feel better? Yes or no? Were you able to change your perspective in this moment, in this specific moment that you're challenged in, to feel better? Yes or no? Do you think whatever is going on is really that important? Yes or no? And finally, are you taking whatever has happened personally? Yes, you know. So write those down. practice those, because when you start practicing all of those and you practice them consistently, you're going to notice a change. You're going to feel a change. You're going to feel a shift. And the other thing I want to say, and this is summing everything up, you know, celebrating birthdays, Christmas, getting a new job, weddings, anniversary, that's all well and good. Who cares? But celebrating your growth and celebrating your shifts and celebrating being different, a different person today than you were 6 months ago or last week, practicing, living in a life of being fluid in your life, being able to flow with it all, just flow and surrender, give up your judgments. It's just the experience without a judgment. That's what this life is. When you're able to just flow and practice it, practice and practice, and I mean practice, people, look at where this Olympics, this last day of the Olympics today. These people did not get there without practicing for years. When you start practice, you begin to master all of the steps to remain in the state of being balanced and content and happy. But it's up to you. It depends on how much you're committed and how bad you want it. That's the cool thing. The ball is in your court. Woo! You've been listening to Reality Spirituality, and thank you so much for listening. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. If you want to email me, you can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. If you've enjoyed the show, how could you not enjoy this show? Go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. My book, The Truth About Happiness, no, it's Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be found on Amazon, Rebecca Norrington on Amazon. And audience, I just want to remind you who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always growing. You're always changing. You're always shifting. Be patient with yourself. Be patient in this life. Be a patient energy. Be patient with your growth. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. I love you all, and we'll chat again next week, Reality Spirituality. Woo to the beepity beep who.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get
real good.
Get real good.
Now, that's a